On Christmas morning, Harry was woken by Ron throwing his pillow at him. "Oi! Presents!" Harry reached for his glasses and put them on, squinting through the semi-darkness to the foot of his bed, where a small heap of parcels had appeared. Ron was already ripping the paper off his own presents. "Another jumper from Mum? Maroon, again! See if you've got one." Harry had. Mrs. Weasley had sent him a scarlet jumper with the Gryffindor lion knitted on the front. Also a dozen home-baked mince pies, some Christmas cake, and a box of nut brittle. As he moved all these things aside, he saw a long, thin package lying underneath. "What's that?" said Ron, looking over, a freshly unwrapped pair of maroon socks in his hand. "Dunno." Harry ripped the parcel open and gasped as a magnificent, gleaming broomstick rolled out onto his bedspread. Ron dropped his socks and jumped off his bed for a closer look. "I don't believe it," he said hoarsely. It was a firebolt, identical to the dream broom Harry had gone to see every day in Diagon Alley. Its handle glittered as he picked it up. He could feel it vibrating and let go. It hung in mid-air, unsupported, at exactly the right height for him to mount it. His eyes moved from the golden registration number at the top of the handle right down to the perfectly smooth, streamlined birch twigs that made up the tail. "Who sent it to you?" said Ron in a hushed voice. "Look and see if there's a card," said Harry. Ron ripped apart the firebolt's wrappings. "Nothing. Blimey, who'd spend that much on you?" "Well," said Harry, feeling stunned, "I'm betting it wasn't the Dursleys." "I bet it was Dumbledore," said Ron, now walking round and round the firebolt, taking in every glorious inch. "He sent you the invisibility cloak anonymously." "That was my dad's, though," said Harry. "Dumbledore was just passing it on to me. He wouldn't spend hundreds of galleons on me. He can't go giving students stuff like this." "That's why he wouldn't say it was from him," said Ron, "in case some git like Malfoy said it was favouritism." "Hey, Harry!" Ron gave a great whoop of laughter. "Malfoy! Wait till he sees you on this. He'll be sick as a pig. This is an international standard broom, this is!" "I can't believe this," Harry muttered, running a hand along the firebolt, while Ron sank onto Harry's bed, laughing his head off at the thought of Malfoy.
"Who?"
"I know," said Ron, controlling himself. "I know who it could have been. Lupin."
"What?"
said Harry, now starting to laugh himself. "Lupin? Listen, if he had this much gold, he'd be able to buy himself some new robes."
"Yeah, but he likes you," said Ron, "and he was away when your Nimbus got smashed, and he might have heard about it and decided to visit Diagon Alley and get this for you."
"What do you mean he was away?" said Harry. "He was ill when I was playing in that match."
"Well, he wasn't in the hospital wing," said Ron. "I was there, cleaning out the bedpans on that detention from Snape, remember?"
Harry frowned at Ron.
"I can't see Lupin affording something like this."
"What are you two laughing about?" Hermione had just come in, wearing her dressing gown and carrying Crookshanks, who was looking very grumpy, with a string of tinsel tied around his neck.
"Don't bring him in here!" said Ron, hurriedly snatching Scabbards from the depths of his bed and stowing him in his pyjama pocket.
But Hermione wasn't listening. She dropped Crookshanks onto Seamus's empty bed and stared, open-mouthed, at the firebolt.
"Oh, Harry, who sent you that?"
"No idea," said Harry. "There wasn't a card or anything with it." To his great surprise, Hermione did not appear either excited or intrigued by this news. On the contrary, her face fell, and she bit her lip.
"What's the matter with you?" said Ron. "I don't know," said Hermione slowly. "But it's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, this is supposed to be quite a good broom, isn't it?"
Ron sighed exasperatedly. "It's the best broom there is, Hermione," he said.
"So it must have been really expensive."
"Probably cost more than all the Slytherin's brooms put together," said Ron happily.
"Well, who'd send Harry something as expensive as that and not even tell him they'd sent it?" said Hermione.
"Who cares?" said Ron impatiently.
"Listen, Harry, can I have a go on it, can I?"
"I don't think anyone should ride that broom just yet,"
said Hermione, shrilly. Harry and Ron looked at her. "What do you think Harry's going to do with it, sweep the floor?" said Ron. But before Hermione could answer, Crookshanks sprang from Seamus's bed right at Ron's chest.
"Get him out of here!"
Ron bellowed, as Crookshanks' claws ripped his pyjamas and Scabbers attempted a wild escape over his shoulder. Ron seized Scabbers by the tail and aimed a misjudged kick at Crookshanks, which hit the trunk at the end of Harry's bed, knocking it over and causing Ron to hop on the spot, howling with pain. Crookshanks's fur suddenly stood on end. A shrill, tinny whistling was filling the room. The pocket sneakerscope had become dislodged from Uncle Vernon's old socks and was whirling and gleaming on the floor.
"I forgot about that," Harry said, bending down and picking up the sneakerscope. "I never wear those socks if I can help it."
The sneakerscope whirled and whistled in his palm. Crookshanks was hissing and spitting at it.
"You'd better take that cat out of here, Hermione," said Ron furiously. He was sitting on Harry's bed, nursing his toe.
"Can't you shut that thing up?" he added to Harry, as Hermione strode out of the room, Crookshanks's yellow eyes still fixed maliciously on Ron. Harry stuffed the sneakerscope back inside the socks and threw it back into his trunk. All that could be heard now were Ron's stifled moans of pain and rage. Scabbers was huddled in Ron's hands. It had been a while since Harry had seen him out of Ron's pocket, and he was unpleasantly surprised to see that Scabbers, once so fat, was now very skinny. Patches of fur seemed to have fallen out, too.
"He's not looking too good, is he?" Harry said.
"It's stress," said Ron. "He'd be fine if that stupid great furball left him alone."
But Harry, remembering what the woman at the magical menagerie had said about rats only living 3 years, couldn't help feeling that unless Scabbers had powers he had never revealed, he was reaching the end of his life. And despite Ron's frequent complaints that Scabbers was both boring and useless, he was sure Ron would be very miserable if Scabbers died.
Christmas spirit was definitely thin on the ground in the Gryffindor common room that morning. Hermione had shut Crookshanks in her dormitory, but was furious with Ron for trying to kick him. Ron was still fuming about Crookshanks's fresh attempt to eat Scabbers. Harry gave up trying to make them talk to each other, and devoted himself to examining the firebolt, which he had brought down to the common room with him. For some reason, this seemed to annoy Hermione as well. She didn't say anything, but she kept looking darkly at the broom, as though it, too, had been criticizing her cat.